Eric Smith joins me now from Mexico City, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the fan's own. So early returns, Mexico City.
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of it other than the hotel lobby, the inside of the taxi, and our driver's fantastic, and the arena itself. Excuse me. So other than that, I haven't seen a whole ton. It's busy. There's a lot of traffic, but it's nice. I mean, I really haven't had a chance to explore a whole lot. We got in late last night, or I guess technically early this morning around 2 a.m. It was an early wake-up to get to the arena, pick up credentials, and get to practice for the Canadians, which starts in about 45 minutes. So it's kind of hit the ground running. So when I have a greater sense of the chance to explore a little bit more, I'll report back to you then. But so far, it's mostly witnessing things from the backseat of a SUV.
No problems breathing or anything, though, right?
No, I'll tell you. I mean, Michael Grange and I were saying this. Both of us were kind of pleading ignorance on this. I guess I could have easily just checked the Weather Network app or something, but it was about 12 degrees Celsius this morning, and I think it's probably under 20 right now. You think Mexico, and you're thinking West Coast, you know, on the water or something, but Mexico City, a little obviously further inland, you know, the elevation, about 7,000 feet or so. It's cooler temperature, so I think even the highs of this week are only expected to get up to the low 20s. So the weather you guys are getting back home is far warmer than what we got here in Mexico City.
That's good news for Grange's hair. I mean, that salad can get unwieldy. You get a little humidity, a little heat, and it goes all over the place, right?
That's true. Plus, he gets really cranky in general when it's hot. So it's not just his hair. We got to keep Grange in line for the next few weeks.
Talking to Eric Smith, who's in Mexico City. The FIBA Americas cranking up tonight. Canada playing Argentina in their opener tomorrow. And I was going through, no United States in this tournament. They've already qualified for the Olympics. They're not going to participate. Brazil's also are already qualified, but they are participating in this tournament. Looking at the rosters, I went through every roster here, and it's like one NBAer, maybe two NBAers. Luis Scola is playing for Argentina, but there's no Manu Ginobili. You look at the Canadian team, it's NBAer, 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 NBAer. Like, roster by roster, that Canadian team is the best team in this tournament, is it not?
I think when you look from a talent standpoint on paper, and then factor in the depth overall, I would say that the Canadians do have the best team, again, on paper. I think what you have to factor in, Ben, is the lack of playing time together. These guys have not been together for much time, if at all, for some of the guys. So from a familiarity standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, I think that's the greatest, I'm not going to say concern, but the issue, something to watch for going into the tournament, because, you know, going 4-0 at 2-2 Marchand last week is all fine and good, and it's, you know, beats going 0-4. But I think, just getting these guys together and getting those game reps and those minutes together is ultimately what's going to matter most, if they can handle some of the other teams that maybe not stacked with NBA talent, but that have had players that have played with their national teams respectively and played international ball together a lot more frequently, and thus maybe have that that, again, ingrained chemistry that the Canadians just don't quite yet have.
All right, maybe let's preview that specific team then, the Argentinian national team, who the Canadians did play in the Tuto Marchand tournament, and they beat them. Luis Scola, Raptor, plays on that team. Is that pretty much the same team that they face with the Tuto Marchand? That's what they're going to face tomorrow, and as such, they should go in as the overwhelming favorite?
I think so, and to answer your question, yes, it should be, you know, essentially the same team that they're facing. So there's no major change expected there. I think for the Canadians, one thing to watch for in that game, and we'll find out officially, Ben, probably in about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at most, what the status of Kelly Olynyk is. He got banged up during the Tuto Marchand and banged up his knee, and he sat out the three games. So Canadians didn't have him in spite of their success. The anticipation, the expectation is that he's going to be good to go, if not by tomorrow, then by Wednesday. And Canada plays four straight games in this round robin. Mm-hmm. They don't play today on day one, so they play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before hopefully making it to the second round. So you want to try and make sure you've got Kelly Olynyk obviously healthy, but healthy for the remainder of this tournament period. So we'll find out officially from Triano a little bit later on what his status is for tomorrow's game, but I would imagine if he's good to go, then they're going to want him out there, because that could be a major weapon that they didn't have in those final three games of the Tuto Marchand. I think that could be a big thing in terms of trying to battle against the likes of a Scola and some of the size that the Argentinians might possess.
We saw the Canadian team, the biggest struggle they had at the Tuto Marchand was Puerto Rico. They're in this tournament. Is that are those 1 and 1A Are those the two teams that should be battling, or do you throw Brazil, or do you throw an Argentina in there as well?
I think I would throw Brazil in there as well. I mean, if you're looking for the top three or four, then you're probably in the right ballpark right there when you talk about those few teams, and obviously including Canada in that those three to four mix. One of the things I didn't realize, and he's sitting right beside me in our car here, I give Grange the credit for passing the information along to me, because I said, you know, why is Brazil even playing in this tournament if they've already earned their berth, essentially, as the Olympic host? And Grange was saying that Brazil owed money to FIBA. They had an outstanding bill, and FIBA, for all intents and purposes, said, listen, we're not going to guarantee you your spot and give you a spot in the Olympics, whether you're hosting or not, unless you pay your bill. And I guess that didn't get resolved until just a couple of weeks ago. So this tournament had to go under the assumption that Brazil was playing, because Brazil still would have had to earn their right to get into the Olympics next year, even though they are in Rio, if they didn't pay their bill. And that's why Brazil's still here. So if Brazil were to make the finals in this tournament, then the third-place team, essentially the winner of the consolation game, would advance. But if otherwise, your only other option is going to the finals and being one of the top few picks.
That's ridiculous. It'll make that consolation game very, very interesting, whereas normally, I mean, nobody really cares about a consolation game, but if it means being in the Olympics or not, that's going to be interesting. But that is such an Olympic, you know, international competition thing. It's about money, and they hadn't paid their bill. Like, are you kidding me? That sounds ridiculous.
It does, but that just seems like it's par for the course with FIBA and FIFA, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Talking to Eric Smith, he's in Mexico City, Canada, playing Argentina in their first game at the FIBA Americas tomorrow. And there's so many NBAers on this team, and Andrew Wiggins is there, and the biggest name that's not there is Tristan Thompson. But they didn't appear to miss him at the Tuto Marchand Cup. And I know so much of that has to do with his contract situation with the Cavaliers and it not being resolved. Do you expect, like, does he have to sign a long-term deal to participate in that Rio Olympics? Do you see him being there in 2016 if he's not on a long-term deal?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, listen, if I were him, and if I were especially his agent, his representatives, I wouldn't want to have my player playing in any kind of international tournament, including an Olympics, unless I had a long-term contract signed and committed. So I think that's going to be a tough thing for next year. You would hope, and it's obviously all speculative right now, but Tristan Thompson wants to play for Canada. He wants to be here right now. He wants to be playing alongside of Corey Joseph. But the fact that things didn't get done with Cleveland and it's still not solidified, that kind of sealed the deal. And in spite of the fact whether the Canadians can still, you know, acquire or assure that there would be insurance in place without having a contract, I mean, I wouldn't want to play if I were in his shoes, and I certainly, again, would want to if I was representative. But now you start doing the math on next year and when the Olympic Games would come around as far as Rio. You would think that assuming Thompson signs the one-year deal with Cleveland and becomes an unrestricted free agent, when free agency opens in the NBA next year on July 1st, Tristan Thompson will not go without a deal by the time the Olympics and Rio start. So I would imagine he will have a contract in place, set and done by the time Rio comes around. So I would think, again, just kind of guessing and just trying to, you know, read the tea leaves, I would think he plays for Canada next year, because I can't imagine he doesn't have a contract in place.
I know you just showed up in Mexico City, but Steve Nash is, of course, the GM of the Canadian men's national basketball team. He had a video he posted on Instagram of him shooting hoops with Snoop Dogg. Who was dishing out balls. I think he was at Snoop's house, actually. Will he be in Mexico City?
He will be. My understanding is he will be, because I spoke with some of the reps from Canada Basketball a couple of days ago, and they mentioned specifically some availability that there may be with for some interview opportunities and such with Nash. So I know he will be, or whether he's here for the entire tournament, I don't know, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't. I mean, he's GM of this team, and it's the biggest tournament this team's played in quite some time. So I can't imagine that he wouldn't be here for every step of the way. And he was at all of the games at the Pan Am as well. In fact, he was out on the floor, rebounding for the guys and essentially acting as a ball boy and helping guys through drills and working a lot with Jamal Murray and some of the other players as well. So if he was showing up there at the Pan Am, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be here at the FIBA Americas as well.
How hands-on has he been? Because I know you mentioned the actual, you know, nuts and bolts of working with, you know, shooters and all that, but he's a GM. How hands-on is he as far as putting the roster together? Because I'm sure he and Jay Triano, they work together. I mean, as the GM, does he have the final say? Like, how much is he involved with putting this roster together?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to him specifically about who made the actual last call in terms of the final cut and whatnot. I imagine, given the relationship that the two men have, Nash and Triano specifically, and then factor in the relationship with assistant general manager Roland Barrett, who's been friends and a teammate with Nash for a long time and played for Jay Triano as well, I would imagine that it's probably a collaborative effort and everybody kind of has their input. So who ultimately has that final stamp, that final say? You know, I would imagine it's probably who Triano ultimately decides he thinks is best for his roster and the makeup of his team, especially when you factor in the way he's been using his depth at this point through the panhandle and through the Tuto Marchand last week. But I don't have a definitive answer for you, Ben, because I haven't asked that question specifically, but that would be my guess in terms of the thought process that comes into it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Before I let you go, we mentioned they won the Tuto Marchand Cup. They went undefeated there. They played some teams with NBA players on them, and they'll be one of the favorites going into this tournament. It's a different dynamic. You're not sneaking up on anybody, Eric. They will be, instead of the hunted, they're the hunter. How does that change things?
I don't know that it should change anything, because I think if they have the right attitude, and hopefully I'm not sounding cliche, but I think that they go into this, whether hunted or hunter. Again, I go back to what I said maybe right off the top. They might have the most talent on paper, but they haven't played together a long time. And they might have won, you know, the Tuto Marchand gone 4-0, but those are games that truly, you know, in the grand scheme, didn't matter. So they still, to me, have a lot to prove. And if they want to prove that this is the first step in hopefully years and, dare I say, even decades of Canada being back on solid ground as far as basketball and international play and future Olympics and everything else, you've got to go out and prove it. You can't just go walking in saying we're going to win on talent alone and we're going to out-athlete you and out, you know, just be the quicker team. We've got to be the better team. We've got to be the more precise team. Everything's got to be on point for this team going forward. So I don't think you can just go in, pop your chest and say, look at us, we're Team Canada, we got a lot of talent. You got to go out there and just continue to bring it to your opponent like you've done over the course of this summer.